You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Despite being a musician for many, many, many years and doing a whole lot of live stuff this year, they've never put out a track, and so this is their debut single. I'm very, very happy to have on the program this morning Evie Bamford joining us from Tamaki Makaurau to talk about their new track, Moneybag. How you doing, man?
Kia ora. I'm great. How are you?
I'm very glad to hear that. I am a little bit restless because I woke up at 5 and I couldn't really get back to sleep.
You've lived many days already.
Yeah, I certainly have. I'm chilling though. I was working on my crossword earlier to kind of pass the time to not look at my phone too much. What's the vibe in Auckland now that the year is coming to a close? You've got a new mayor. Are people happy? Are people a bit anxious? Is the economy better? What's going on?
I mean, Auckland is Auckland, and that will always be that way. Auckland, it never sleeps, it never stops. It's still ramping up all the way to the end. But, I mean, it feels like, I can't say this to somebody living in Dunedin, but it was a hard winter. Yeah. It was a long, rainy, wet, and it was actually quite cold for Auckland. I guess climate change, you know.
I guess. Because we had a relatively menacing winter, but it honestly wasn't as bad as it has been in previous years.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, menacing for us is like, you know, it gets to maybe like 11 degrees and I'm like, oh God, you know. Now the sun's out and everyone's a little bit happier because of that, I think. And there's lots of music being released at the moment too.
Yeah, the music scene is great. And you're contributing to it with this by playing live all the time and putting out this new track, Moneybag. I saw a really good photo of you with a horse on the gram, and I was wondering, are you a big horse girl?
I actually don't think I've ever ridden a horse before.
Really?
Yeah, so I can be a horse girl in other ways, maybe. But yeah, I've never ridden a horse before. That photo was like taken at a photo shoot that I did with a friend of mine out in Muriwa, which for all of you Dunedin folk is like on the west coast, and there's this really beautiful rugged spot. And there's like sometimes horses there that they take walking through the forest.
Wild or domestic?
No, I think that they're domestic.
Oh, okay, because yeah. I've heard of wild horses in the North Island, and people apparently love them, but apparently they're really bad for the local environment. And I can't remember where they are. Sense. But yes, so you were walking with a horse.
I was just walking with a horse and got a little snap of one. And I've been hesitant to use that photo to face this exact question.
Well, you're facing your fears, you know, you're confronting the unknown.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're a clarinet player, something else I read. How long have you been jamming the clarinet, and have you had a lot of Squidward jokes thrown your way?
You know what?
Endless?
It's
endless.
Actually just everyone. Every single time someone hears that I play the clarinet, they can't help but say Squidward.
Mm.
So don't worry, I've probably heard it at least over 10,000 times.
It's like being ginger, you know, you just kind of are confronted every day.
Yeah.
With abuse.
Yeah, Squidward kind of gave like a pretty bad rep to clarinet though. Like, he played it so badly and he made it sound pretty crap. So that's kind of annoying. But yeah, I play clarinet. That was my main instrument for a long time, and now I would definitely say I'm more of a guitarist. But I started playing clarinet when I was 7 in primary school, and you know, I played in my like primary school big band, and did all through high school. I was playing in orchestras and big bands and stuff. And so that was my like main musical practice for a really long time. And I wanted to be like a classical musician. And then I picked up the guitar maybe when I was like 12 and was doing that, separately to the classical stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, so those kind of existed at the same time. And then eventually I just went down that path and started listening to more alternative music and a lot more jazz. And so I don't play classical clarinet anymore, but I still love the instrument. And I play it in my band and in my tracks and some unreleased songs that are going to be coming out next year, feature some clarinet, which is really fun that I'm now at a stage where I could bring those two things together rather than kind of have them in these two different worlds.
Yeah, that's cool to be able to fuse them, you know. And I guess get in touch with your roots.
Yeah.
Because you never forget your roots, my friend.
Oh, maybe I've heard that before. Yeah, I think with clarinet, it's like, it's definitely playing that instrument and being like so into it for so long definitely informs my songwriting and definitely informs like the way that I think about melody. Mm. And also sometimes I think the way that I play the guitar too, because guitar, you know, it can be a very rhythmic and chordal instrument, but it can also be very melody focused. And so it's nice to be able to cross over musically with the instruments too.
Mm. Mean. Moneybag is your debut single. I want to know, why do you choose this song to be the sort of first impression that people can, you know, hear on demand as opposed to seeing you live?
Mm. That's a great question. I think I chose this one because it's a really happy and digestible sound. Like, orally, it's upbeat, it's groovy, it's, the lyrics are pretty silly and dumb, but it's not, like, there's nothing to talk about. You know, it talks about some pretty, like, heavy feelings and some heavy topics. So it didn't feel, like, empty in that way, where I wouldn't have anything to talk to people about in, like, radio interviews and stuff.
You came to the wrong place. I'm going to be talking about this. But continue.
But, yeah, I think it's a, like, it's a happy, upbeat song to listen to. And then I guess if you dive a little deeper, it uncovers some other thoughts and feelings. But, yeah, I chose it as the first one. I mean, my band also just, we really love playing it together. It always was really groovy and really fun. So, you know, taking that into a studio environment felt like the right decision.
The right thing to do. It felt natural.
Yeah.
I think it is interesting because the lyrics can be kind of read as a little bit irreverent until there's a certain moment in the first chorus. And it's the track Moneybag is about how working sucks. You know, we have to sell our time to be able to live, and we have to write resumes, and we really have very little control over where we eventually end up. And it's shit because we spend so much time working, and working already sucks. And if we're working someone we don't want to work, then it sucks even more. And the song partially came after you had an interview for a job that you really wanted. And then you even realized, oh, eventually I'll get tired of that. Did you eventually get that job?
I did. And it is the job that I have right now. Mm. And so it's hard to talk about because I do really love my job. But, you know, there's obviously, with anything that you do for 40 hours a week, there's really crappy days and there's times where you don't really want to do it anymore. Mm. And it's funny, you know, I wrote the song like maybe just over a year ago. So I've been in the job for a little while now. And it's funny looking back on kind of the like foreshadowing, you know, hindsight vibes that I have now, where I'm at with my job. Mm. And yeah, I do really love my job. But of course, if I didn't have to work, I probably wouldn't.
Mm. I think a really unfortunate thing about being in Gen Z is that we're vocationally insecure, but we've also inherited millennial self-awareness about working, you know, sucking. So we can't even have our cake and eat it too. We can't even have the cake. You know, we're kind of trapped a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, the feeling of in the chorus when I say, you know, it's just my life anyway, it's just like, oh, well, no worries, it's just the next, you know, 40 years. And, you know, if I don't get the job, it's all right. It's just my entire livelihood and, you know, everything that I need and require from my life. I think I also wrote it when I had this job interview, and when I wrote Moneybag, I was getting kicked out of my flat because my landlord wanted to sell it. And we had only lived there for like 4 months. And so it was also at this time of just feeling like you said, this complete powerlessness over these two major, major parts of your life, you know, your home and your work life, and feeling like you don't really have much power to make those decisions at the end of the day.
No, and I guess that's by design by the economic system we live in. But hey, that's all right. You recorded this song live at a farm in Matakana. I want to know, was there a studio? Because when I hear that you record on a farm, I can just imagine, you know, in a barn, lots of hay, some horses around. Was it a studio in the farm?
It wasn't that romantic. I'm really, that combined with the horse girl picture, I'm really setting up a brand for myself.
You got to work in your marketing. But I assume there was a studio at the farm.
There actually wasn't a studio.
There wasn't?
No, there wasn't. So I recorded everything live with the help of a friend of mine, Ellie Doe, who was like the main engineer for it. Mm. And so we were just up in this space in Matakana in like a living room. It was just like a big living room and with this big open, it was on like a big paddock. So that was a really nice energy. But yeah, the room was just, we just turned it into a recording studio.
I mean, doesn't take much.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, budgets and things like that were a constraint. So we recorded the band there, the drums, keys, guitar and bass, mainly just, you know, focusing on getting that live drum sound. And then everything else, the trumpet parts, I recorded some like additional guitar bits and the vocals. We're all just recorded at home in the room I'm sitting in right now.
Mean. I want to talk about the sound of this thing because it's a deluge of indie goodness, and I appreciate that there's a lot of layers, there's lots going on. There's bass, keys, synths, vocals, drums, and a trumpet. Do you think that because you were raised, well, not raised, musically, you kind of emerged in big bands and so on and so forth, that you feel quite comfortable working with a lot of different elements?
Yeah, I think that I actually just don't really know otherwise. Like, when I'm writing, I'm very much writing with all of the other ideas of instrumentation in mind. And I really like that. I really enjoy that part of the process, like figuring out the arrangement of how everything's going to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sometimes when I'm writing songs, I'm like, oh, I don't even know if this is actually a good song on its own, you know, if it can stand alone. And then when I play solo gigs, I kind of have to think about that. I think that's the only way that I can think about music, and I'm very maximalist in a lot of areas of my life, and I really like having lots of things going on, having lots of different voices talking to each other. Lots of little things that, you know, you can listen to a song lots and lots of times. And because there's really dense parts, you'll capture something else every time that you listen to it.
Yeah, I rate that. I rate that a lot. I do love that for, you know, for big sounding music. That is a real fun element. I think that might be all the questions I have today. I just got to ask you two more things.
Mm-hmm.
Can we expect some kind of project release next year? And what are your New Year's plans, mate?
I'll do New Year's first, since that's actually coming up quite soon.
Mm.
I'm going on a big road trip up north, in the far north. I'm going all the way to the tippity top, which I've never been before, so that will be really nice. And yeah, there is a bigger body of work that will be coming out sometime, sort of early, mid 2026. There's an EP on the way with five more tracks. So it'll be six songs in total. With some clarinet bits and with some other instruments that kind of feed into that dense arrangement vibe too. So
very,
I'm really looking forward to that coming out.
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. Well, I can't wait to listen to the whole thing. Thank you for coming on the program this morning. I really appreciate your time. Do you have any final thoughts, words, considerations you want to leave our lovely listeners with?
Firstly, thank you so much for having me. Secondly, even though it's, you know, a song sometimes about how working sucks and bloody bloody blah, and it's very easy to get caught up in that, I hope that if you listen to Moneybag and you like it, it also kind of makes you realize how silly it all is, and that it just doesn't matter at the end of the day.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, Zach.
Cheers, man. All right, folks, that was Evie Bamford. We're having a chat with Evie about her new track, Moneybag, which is out wherever you find your music. We're going to play this track, play a few more tracks, and then we'll hopefully have a surf report with Nolsey. You are indeed listening to The Big Breakfast Show on Radio 191 FM. Te reo irirangi kotahi. Keep it locked.
Was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.